I so appreciate people worshiping. You know, I don't want to be known to him as the guy that has the church that won't worship me. I'm serious. You know, I don't want to be known in heaven. That's the guy that pastor that had the church that wouldn't worship. Let's just be worshipful to him. Amen. And you know, I just want to encourage you. The blood of Jesus wipes everything away. He said, if you'll confess your wrongdoings, your mishaps. How many of you know we make mistakes? We slip up. He said, I am faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. He doesn't want you feeling bad. He doesn't want you beating yourself up, praise God. You know, I think about the woman that was caught in adultery, and we get such a picture of who God is. She was caught in the very act, the Bible said, and drug out into the streets. We don't even know what she was wearing, if she was wearing anything. And the Bible says that when everybody was going to cast stones at her, Jesus said, you that is without sin, you cast the first stone. And so they all dropped their rocks and walked away. And here Jesus was left with this woman. And he said to her, go and sin no more. He said, where are your accusers? He says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. He said, that's all you got to do. Just don't do it anymore. Just stop. He wasn't kicking her or giving her a lecture or coming. God is so loving. Amen. See, sin isn't your problem. The blood of Jesus can take care of that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Father, we praise you this morning. Lord, I'm so grateful because I have stumbled. I fall. I fail, Father. I'm not perfect. I do things wrong at times. And Father, I thank you. I don't have to wallow around in condemnation. I don't have to wallow around in guilt and shame. Lord, not that we on purpose go the wrong way. Not that we go on purpose the wrong way to abuse the grace that you've, given to us. But Father, it's available to us when we do falter and we do fail. So thank you, Lord. You're never mad at us. You're never angry. You're always so loving and always so ready to restore. Always so ready to forgive and to cleanse. We thank you for that. And Father, we go forward this morning from that place, a place of joy and victory and faith, not condemnation, fear and guilt. So Father, help us to receive this morning. Holy Ghost, impart into us what we need. Say what needs to be said. Do what needs to be done. And Father, I thank you as I open my mouth, you will speak through me. I'm not God, but you're going to use me today. Father, I thank you. I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. What will come out of my mouth will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, it'll hit bullseyes in people's heart and it'll be an opportunity for change, an opportunity to grow and to go forward. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You go to 3 John verse 2. These are always one of those messages. I'll tell you how it came about. I was sharing last Saturday, I believe it was, in Olean, on Saturday night, the offering scripture. And I went to a certain place that we're going to go to in a little bit. And as I was sharing out of that, up from my spirit came, make this into a full sermon. And so that's where it came from the Holy Ghost. And felt led to deliver it today, the message that I got last Saturday in the offering. And we'll start in 3 John 2. But this is one of these messages, I just got to be honest with you, it's about money. And these are the messages that transform people's lives or chase people out of here. Amen. It's truth. It's amazing how the same message can totally change somebody's future for the good and yet totally chase somebody away and make them mad and offended. It really comes down to what kind of ground you are as the receiver. What kind of dirt, as God will call it, that you are. And 3 John 2, it's right before the book of Revelation, if you're having trouble finding it or if it's the computer slowing up, but there's only one chapter in it. But 3 John verse 2, I'm going to read it regardless if it's up there or not. You can follow along in your Bibles or just listen. But the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, God's saying to his children here, I want you to prosper in your life and in your body and in your finances, even as your soul prospers. So thank God for it. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be blessed. You know, people say that darn health and wealth gospel. Well, it's the only gospel I know. is the darn health and wealth gospel. In fact, Jesus, when he came in Luke 4, we don't have to turn there, but in Luke 4, he said, I've come to preach the gospel. Well, the first thing he said was preach the gospel to the poor. He said the remedy to the poor, so they don't have to stay poor anymore, is the gospel. He said, I've come to preach the recovering of the sight to the blind. What's that? That's the health gospel. Amen? And so the reason that God is into the health and wealth gospel is, number, you know, you are his children. He wants you blessed, of course, no doubt. But it's for bigger purposes. Kingdom purposes. Amen? And let me just say this. We talked often about Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. The number one reason that you should want to be healthy and the number one reason you should want to be wealthy is not for your own me, myself, and my life. It's for the kingdom purposes. In fact, your number one priority in life, that's what Matthew 6:33 says, and this is why people struggle and have a hard time at times. Your number one priority should be God first. God's stuff first, God's things first, God's ways first, God in my life. That's how things work out for the better. But that's why the health and wealth gospel, thank God for the word of faith, where we've learned faith and how to apply these things, and we can walk in health. We can walk in wealth and have our needs met and be blessed. But it's not just so you can be selfish. It's not so you can just have your happy life here on this earth. It's so you can be so blessed, so healthy, to go out as the body and do things for Him. Amen? So we ought to have a vested interest in becoming prosperous the way God says to do it and how God looks at prosperity, being prosperous His way. Because when we're prosperous His way or fit the description of His prosperity, we then have enough to go out and do everything else for the world, to mankind. A lot of people are going to be in for a sad, sad experience when they stand before Jesus and are judged for the things they did to the body, and they're shown all the things that He had for them to do. But they were too busy with their own life, too busy with their own stuff. Their money was just theirs. Their body and their time and their energy and effort was just theirs. What a sad existence of a life. Want to know why? Because everything that people are sowing into in this life and going, I mean, running around the rat race and going crazy in their life is all going to pass away and going to mean absolutely nothing. It's better to hear this from me than from him. When the reality, I know in our life now we're in the daily, the rat race and everything goes on. And it seems hard to imagine that. But that day's coming. That we will be before him. And this was our chance to make an impact for God. To do things for the kingdom. To make an impact for eternity in people's lives. To use our bodies for him. To use our finances for him. Amen? Amen. Now here's the thing. The good thing about it is when we put him first and do that, he said things will be added to us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not out trying to get stuff. Stuff tracks me down. Why? Because I'm trying to get blessed to do for him. My number one purpose in life is, Father, what can I do for you? That's why I'm even a pastor. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't ask to be this. I didn't want to be this. In fact, I can't stand naturally in my own self standing in front of people talking. Maybe that's a shock to you, or maybe you look at me and say, I can see why. I don't know what you think, but regardless of whatever you think, I don't enjoy this. I'd love to be in the back, behind the scenes, in the unseen realm. And I think that's probably part of the reason why he can use me, because I don't get kicks out of this. I don't get my joy out of doing this. I don't. I get my joy out of obeying him and do what he wants, but that's my number one purpose. And God has a way with prosperity. And here's the thing with money. I have seen so many strongholds in people. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is when the devil gets a grip on you in your thought life, in your way of thinking, in your way of doing, that is anti the Bible. And God says something, but the stronghold is so strong, you believe, you live, you think a certain way that you shouldn't. And I see so many strongholds when it comes to people in the area of money. Do you know that marriages, the number one thing that pastors report that marriages struggle in and why they have trouble is financial? It's not the only topic why marriages struggle, but it's the number one. You know the number one reason why people have left this church? Because of money. Money talk. It's the truth. I have seen people get so weird over finances. Have you ever seen it in your own life and family? And people fight over the dumbest things and things that are worth hardly nothing at all. And just like, it does something to people. Gets a grip on them, right? Well, the Bible says that money endeavors to be a master in somebody's life. Remember? It says you can't serve God and money. So money evidently is trying to get a stronghold or a hold over people's lives to become their master. And I see people get a stronghold about money and it holds them back. But on the same token, I have seen people renew their minds to the Bible, do what the Word says financially, become extremely generous, and get into this flow, never-ending flow of giving and receiving. Yes, and it just, and money talk doesn't offend them, it excites them. And they constantly are in this flow. See, there, I'm going to talk later about a specific seed that I sowed and got a specific harvest. But I'm here to tell you, most of the harvests that keep coming into my life, I have no idea what seed they were from. Why? Because I've sown so many seeds. That's not me bragging. That's me telling you the truth. I have a lot of seed out in the fields of God. And what happens when you have a lot of seed, if you're constantly sowing, you're constantly reaping. Amen? But that can only come, and see, I want to constantly reap. Because the more I reap, the more I can give. Every year we endeavor to give more in our giving statement. Every year we increase to our partners that we're giving. Every year I give more to Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy. Why? Because I want to keep staying in that flow. Because the more I can get, the more I can give. Praise God. You know, I want to be wildly rich in this life. Say, Pastor, that's a bad desire to have. Not because, for me, more wildly rich I can be, the bigger of a wild giver I can be. And I'm telling you, that's my heart. And I don't have to justify it to anybody. I know, I've talked to God in the back room, you know, in the private times. He knows my heart on this. Increase me, Lord, I'll give it away. Increase me, Lord. It'll funnel right through me. Praise God. And it's true. My heart's with Him. And so we're going to talk about some things here today. And if you're a note taker, I guess you could call this kingdom giving principles or kingdom generosity principles. But they're going to help you today because God always is trying to bring you up higher into a better life for you and for the kingdom. Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. In verse 1, we're going to look at the story that I looked at in the offering last Saturday night in Olean. And we're going to preach the sermon that the Lord gave me. And so I'm going to give you 3 points of kingdom giving principles. Now, you're going to be happy that you were here to hear this message. Because it's messages like this that transform my finances. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, let me just say it this way. Because a lot of people, they get into a thought because the devil will feed them this line. They don't do things the Bible's way financially, but yet they still can pay their bills, they still drive nice vehicles, they still have nice homes and things. And so the devil will tell people, it's working without the tithe, without the offer, whatever, you know, without doing it the Word's way. But see, the thing is, when you step outside doing things God's way, you come out from underneath His covering. He said, blessed are those that dwell in the secret place of the shadow of the Most High. They dwell there. They choose to take residence up under Him and His Word. When you go out from under it, it's like the baby turkey, you know, that trouble's coming and mom's got all the babies, you know, right around her and they're next to a tree. And the little one decides to go prancing around the field. Well, out in the field is where the predators are. Out in the field is where danger is. No, where safety is under the wing, under mom's wing. And the safety is under God's Word. And the problem is that it might look a certain way for a while, but the Bible says that's unsteady foundation, unsteady ground, that crumbling is the outcome of that. See, I don't worry about crumbling. Regardless of paychecks, regardless of what the economy says, regardless of the rumors of the stock market and recessions and things, it doesn't faze me. Why? I'm under the kingdom's principles. God is not moved by the stock market. God is not moved by a paycheck or jobs or salaries or things that could happen in your life. God's kingdom is prosperity all time. And the way that I can benefit and cooperate with that is by doing what He says. Praise God. So this will help people this morning. It'll get you excited, get some of you fired up and maybe you'll be a doer of something that will change some outcomes in your life. But Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, it came to pass that as people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed or requested of him that he would, this is Peter's boat, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. And Simon, or Peter, answered and said, Master, we have toiled or worked all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Verse 8. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or the catch of fishes which they had taken. Praise God. Go back with me to number 3, verse 3. Number 1, are you ready? For God's kingdom giving principles. God's kingdom on the earth requires people to give. Okay? For God's plan on planet earth to go forward, to take ground of the devil, to expand in influence, to do what God's desires is for it to do, it requires people to give money or to give of themselves. Amen? We see this in verse 3. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and requested that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The verses before said that the people pressed upon Jesus. Now, Jesus had to separate himself from the mob. Why? He had a message he needed to deliver. He had something that needed to be said. Well, when people are all around him being crazy and loud, Jesus said, no, I need to go out into the boat, go out into the water away from the people so then I can get them to calm down, they can't get at me, and I can teach them and bless them. God's kingdom on this day needed to go forward. But for God's kingdom to go forward, someone, a person, had to give something. Peter gave, he said, I request that you would, got into one of the boats and requested that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Peter obliged and gave, which was very generous as we break it down, gave Jesus the boat to use. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, that is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. God's kingdom on this day, for it to go forward, required somebody to give. Or you could say it this way. God looked to somebody to give him something so the kingdom could go forward. Amen? What are these things? Keep getting pricked by them. What the heck am I doing here? Malachi, yes. Or for our Italian friends, Malachi. Whatever. It's however you see it. You know, it's perspective. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Look at this. It says, will a man rob God? That seems silly, but he goes on and says they do. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, I want to help you here with tithes and offerings about what God is saying. Because in verse 10, it goes on and tells people to bring the tithe. It tells them in verse 8 to give offerings and give tithes. You're robbing me if you don't do it. Now this is what you have to understand. In heaven, where God is, he's seated on a throne. The streets of gold are there. Victory and joy and prosperity abound greatly. If people don't bring tithes and offerings, it does nothing to him in heaven. So it says you're robbing God. What do you mean you're robbing God? No, he still sits on the throne. The streets are still gold. Prosperity and abundance abound in that place. The way that you are robbing him is twofold. And we'll get to the second one towards the end and make you really happy. We'll leave you here with a good mood today. And twofold is, number one, he wants to bless you. But number two, you're robbing him from the ability for his kingdom to go forward. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, look at verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there. He's saying, now I'm going to tell you why it's there. He said, I'm asking you to bring the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat. Meat is provision in the house of God. Do you see it? He's saying, my house. Now, let's look at our own houses. Your own house is no different. For your house to function and to go forward every day, to pay for your cars, to pay for your house, to pay for your food, to pay for whatever your kids need, it needs provision. And God is saying, in a house, there's things we need to do. There's places we're going to go. There's mandates and there's visions and there's things that I've placed on a certain location, a certain house to do things, to go forth. He says, for that to happen, just like your own home, what are the things you need to do? Pay bills, provide for your kids, all those things, etc., etc. It needs provision. And God's saying, for the kingdom to go forward, we need meat in the house. Amen. We need meat in the house. So I'm going to tell my people how we can make sure in the house of God there's provision. Now, think about this for a second. That means that in a house that God calls people to that house, He doesn't call you apart from your money because your money's attached to your heart. So when He calls you to a place, a house, He's calling your provision with it. Your provision is attached with it. Attached with it. And so when He calls you here and says, okay, this is the plan that I have for this place, He's going to provide what the place needs through the provision of the people. So when somebody that's a part of the home doesn't do their part, and God expects them to do their part, the house goes without. Amen? Amen. It's true. I think about, you know, people maybe that, you know, for years or things, you know, still don't tithe and haven't tithe. They think, wow, from the beginning of when they were here until now, all the provision that was meant for this place. For what? To go forward. For the kingdom to go forward. And remember, if you remember right, Pastor Mike gave you a dissertation early on that should be your number one thing in life, is the kingdom of God. I love what Dr. Dufresne said. Pastor Nancy's husband was with Jesus, a man who lived a naturally blessed life on the earth. He didn't come from that. He grew into that by finding out the principles of God's word. He said, my motto in life is this: if the church needs carpet and my home needs carpet, guess who's getting the carpet? The church. Amen. What's that called? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, the devil and wrong thoughts and bondage will tell people that's extreme. No, that's Matthew 6, 33 in action. Dr. Dufresne was a man who, now you only do this if you're led by Spirit, you know, and you can't just quit your job. You have to follow God on some things. But he quit his job to build a church for his church. He quit his job and headed it up and would go out back of the Amway grocery stores, I think it was Amway, grocery stores at night, and get the leftover food and take the food that was left and feed on that because he didn't have enough money to pay for food. And he was doing that, and he became one of the wealthiest preachers I know of. Amen. And one of the most generous as well. See, people don't see that stuff when it comes to generosity and things. They don't see the sowing and things like that. But my point was, he was a seek first mentality. What does the house need? What does God need? So you have to understand what your job and the money you're bringing in, it's not for you. The number one primary purpose, it's not for you. Because your number one primary purpose on this earth is not you. It's Him. And a lot of times people don't have their mind renewed to that. And so they get touchy about their money. Well, this is my money. Well, if I remember right, you came in naked. With none of it. Go with me real quick. We'll come back here in a second. But go to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. First Chronicles 29 and verse 1. What is the tithe and the offering? It's meant to be provision for the place that's taken ground from the devil. Amen. You see, we like benefiting from this place. And a lot of us have greatly benefited from this place. We've had our bodies healed. We've had things restored. We've had words in season that got us through a time. There things happen in our family life that was such a blessing because of this place. Well, you do know that there's a payment on this place. That the lights are not free. That the heat is not free. That doing things in the parking lot and the maintenance around here, it's not free. Supplying for Pastor Nancy's ministry to go to 186 countries to hear the word. We got to do that. Providing for people in Spain, for the Durants, for, you know, this is, the church has like 6 or 7 partners that we partner with every single month from the church alone. We're a giving church. Kingdom First Church, praise God. Well, to do those things, we need provision. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to say, I was going to be honest and just come right out and say it. There are things that if the full provision from each and every member of this home would bring on a consistent basis, there would be some things that would be different around here. I'm not going to get into all the details, but it's just the truth. It's the same way in a natural home. You know, we have a natural home and everybody has their part to do in chores. When somebody doesn't do their part, it goes undone. Things go lacking. People have to stretch themselves. People have to overwork or pick up the slack. Amen? We're trying to go forward here. Praise God. Wait, we'll get to number 3. Number 3 is about you and your good stuff. So we'll get there in a second. But 1 Chronicles 29 verse 1, David the king said to the congregation, so now the leader is saying to the people, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. Well, what work is he talking about? The next line tells us. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. He's talking about the building of the church, the building of the temple. Notice he calls it a palace. Woo! The church should be nice. The church should be excellent. Amen? What do you need $30,000 for a parking lot? Because it's the church, that's why. Why do we need such excellent and nice things around here? Because it's the church. And David called it a palace. And look what he said. He said in verse 2, Now I've prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the brass for the brass, all those things he's saying. But then verse 3, he says, Moreover, because I have set my affection, the NIV says, because I have set my devotion to the house of my God. That's why how we show up here, how we talk while we're here, how we act while we're here, how we behave while we're here, how we serve while we're here matters. Why? Because it's the house of God. We just say, oh, it's just the church, it's that little church in South Dayton. No, this is the house of the living God. When you come and you clean, you're cleaning the house of God. When you're serving in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Changes some things. He said, I've set my affection, my devotion to the house of God. This is what I'm going to do. I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given in the house of my God, over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house. 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and the 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses with all. He's saying, I'm bringing from my own supply for the church. The gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, verse 5, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then, he says. So he says, I'm an example. I'm telling you, I'm sowing into the work. I'm putting the kingdom of God first. And he says, who then is willing to consecrate His service, what service he's talking about? The service of giving this day unto the Lord. Why am I telling you this? Because what was the number one point? God's kingdom to go forward requires you to give. Jesus needed people to give that day. God said, for the house of God, I need people to bring a tithe and offerings. David is saying, if we're going to build this thing, who's going to be with me and help do this? The kingdom of God to go forward, Jesus needed to go forward that day. The church needed to go forward. And the temple needed to be built, which is the kingdom going forward, needed people to give. Amen. Now, what I love about David, because people will say, well, my money. Don't talk about... David gave so much, but at the end, you know what he said? He said, don't look at me like I'm something special. He said, I came into this world with nothing. He said, everything I have is because of him anyways. So those people that have the wrong mentality, this is my life. I worked hard for this. Yeah, but how'd you get the healthy body? How'd you get the sound mind? How'd you get the air to breathe to do this? Because remember, again, you came in naked. Amen. That's what you started with. Amen. He's generous. Amen. Praise God. And here's the thing about God. When it comes to church, notice he set the standards. Tithes and offerings. Now let me explain this real quick before we go on to point number two. Do you know why God, I see it as a pastor. I don't know if you've ever seen it or experienced this. I see it as a pastor. If God didn't set the limit, people wouldn't even come close to it. You want to know why? I'll tell you a personal story. Let's say, I remember back, years ago before my mind was renewed and just coming into this, you know. Let's say my tithe was $200 a week or whatever. Say it was. I don't know what it was. It wasn't that much back then. And I'd put a 20 in the offering bucket. And I thought, I just hung the moon. When in reality, I was robbing God. If I had a $200 tithe, that means that's a $200 chunk of provision that God's counting on for this house. And when I bring 20 and think I hung the moon, I've had people come up to me before. Tell me that they made a mistake, brought the wrong amount of money, and it was higher than they thought. They reached into their money drawer, grabbed an amount of money, it was higher than they thought, and I know their job. And they'll say, I grabbed a 20 or I grabbed a 50, but you know, I was thinking, well, I'm not going to do that today. I decided to end up giving it, and they'll bring a $50 bill or a $100 bill, and I know their job. I know that ain't their tithe. But they think in their head they're doing something great. So if God didn't set the standard, people wouldn't come up to God because God's more generous than we are. Amen. So God sets the standard of the tithe and the offering. Why? Because he says that's what's going to be needed for the provision of the house to do what we need to do. If everybody just brings their 20s, we're shutting this place down, just so you know. If everyone just reads in your pocket and just, now 50's your tithe, and that's where you're at right now, thank you for being faithful. Let's believe God for more. But if people that are bringing a 5 and should be bringing 500 and just putting their 50s in and should be, we're going to shut this place down. And we're not anywhere near that. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying the kingdom won't be able to do what the kingdom needs to do. We see, what if Peter would have said no? And what if nobody would have, Jesus, the kingdom wouldn't have gone forward the same way. What if people would have said, David, you just do your stuff. Well, if you go and read how much that temple was, it wasn't just David's increase that could build that thing. What if people just stop tithing to the local church? Well, then there's no provision and no meat. Well, what happens when you take the food out of your own home? You struggle and you suffer. Amen? Amen. So God's kingdom, you have to renew your mind to this, because people struggle in the area of giving, requires people to give. If you're at all interested in God's kingdom going forward, then you must be interested in being a giver. Amen. Number two, are you ready? Amen. Go back to Luke chapter 5, and let's go to verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them, washing their nets. Well, we know the whole story. Why were they washing their nets and cleaning up? Because they had worked all night. It was time to go home. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he requested that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, you got to get involved with the human reality of the situation here. The Bible just says they had a terrible night of work. They worked all night long and didn't catch anything. I don't know about you, but if you've ever worked the third shift, there's something about the third shift that doesn't matter how long you do it, it just never feels normal. There's something about staying up all night that's just not normal. And when you work all night laboring, and you haven't caught anything, which puts you in a bad mood, you're naturally worn out and tired, and now you still got to clean up. And I don't know about you, clean up to me is the worst. My dad used to own a restaurant in North Warren, Pennsylvania called The Train Station. I worked there as a teenager, and I hated, even though it was getting close time to go home, it was the tedious work, the cleaning work, the no fun part of the job. So when Jesus asks Peter for the boat, it's not an easy thing. So what's my number two point? And I'll give you other examples. God asks of us to give for the kingdom to go forward. His asking and what he asks for will not always be convenient, easy, or how you think it should be. It was not easy for Peter on this day to help the kingdom go forward, was it? No, it wasn't. Hallelujah. Now, go to verse, remember, because when God, now here's the principle you need to know. When God asks something, now we're talking about money, but it might be other things, serving and different things. When God asks, it will not always be convenient, easy, or how you think. If you don't have your mind renewed to that, you won't walk through the doors that God's trying to get you to walk through to into this land of increase. Let me give you an example of what I mean. After he taught from the people from the ship, you can imagine, Peter's been around Jesus before. He knows this guy preaches, and if you know anything about preachers, we can talk. Who knows how long his sermons were? Paul preached so long, someone fell off the roof and died. Right? Fell out the window. Preached so long, someone fell asleep and fell out the window and died. And they had to raise him from the dead. It happened. Thank God we don't have windows. That's why we left all the windows out of here. We don't want anybody falling out of them, because I preached too long. And when he says, can I use your boat to preach? You know what, Peter, you know the human, oh no. Anything but you preaching today in my boat. I got to clean this thing. I want to go home. I'm tired. Sure. But he lets them have it. But then look. Verse 4. Now when he left speaking, and you know when Jesus wrapped that up and said, Jesus' name, amen. You know Peter in his mind is thinking, praise the Lord. Yeah. You know how you are when pastor shuts his Bible. Woo-hoo! Woo! Finally! You want to know? Because I've been in those seats before and I felt the same way. Oh, praise the Lord, they're done. I know. And that's what Peter's thinking. Praise the Lord, he's done. And look what Jesus says in verse 4. Peter, now take me fishing. I want to go fishing now, Peter. Here's Peter thinking he's getting to go home. And now Jesus asks of him something that is not easy, convenient, or how Peter's mind would like it. Peter, take me fishing. Oh my gosh, Lord, I just worked all night long. I got to clean up my boat. You just preached for who knows how long. I'm tired. I don't want to go fishing. We know he didn't. Simon answered and said, Master, let me talk some sense into you here. We have just worked all night long and didn't catch anything. So this fishing trip you want, it's fruitless. It's pointless. And I'm tired. And I'm trying to clean up. I'm not even done cleaning yet. And you used my boat and took another how long? I should be in bed by now. What did he ask of him? Something that wasn't easy or convenient. Hallelujah. Praise God. What about when God visited the woman in 1 Kings 17 who had one meal left for her and her son? And the prophet of God said, give it to me. Why? Because God said to the prophet of God, she's got your food. So he obeys God and tells her, give me your last meal. Well, guess what? That was something that God asked that woman that was not easy, not convenient. What about what he told the guys over there in John chapter 2 of the wedding in Cana? Go get me some water out of the well. Was it easy? Was it convenient? Or how they thought? What about when God told Abraham, take your son, the son that you love, up on the mountain and give him to me in a sacrifice? What was that? Not easy, not convenient, or how Abraham would have done it in his own mind. But you have to understand principle number two when it comes to giving principles is that God will ask you at times, that's the way people at times feel about the tithe. Right? They get so tripped up at 10%, and then he's talking about offerings, and then Pastor Mike's talking about God speaking to my heart to give something sacrificially. And you get... You know what we love? We love, everybody would say, sign me up for this. That God's going to open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing there's not room enough to receive. Whoop, sign me up. Right? You'd all say, sign me up for that. But you know the avenue by which the windows of heaven will be opened up and a blessing will be poured out to you that room enough to receive? The avenue is, bring ye all the tithes. You know what we love? We love, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But you know what the avenue of given, pressed down, shaken together, running over is comes through? The first word of that verse, give. God has a way of prosperity, and His way is through giving. Bring the tithe, this will happen. Give, and this will happen. Hallelujah. He'll ask you things that are not convenient. I told this story before. When I was in a Dr. Dufresne meeting in California, it was Pastor Michael's 25th anniversary, and they were going to do a celebration for him. And just, you have to understand this. I don't preach a lot about this because I don't ever want to seem self-serving. But at the same time, I do need to mention at times because we bring ministers in here. Whether or not you do it with me or not, I don't care, but I hope you do it with them. Now, what am I saying? Well, one of the ways that we can honor and be honorable towards ministers is financially. The Bible says to honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. We see it in the Word. We see a woman over there, the Bible called her great, that when the prophet would come through town, she built and paid for an addition on her house so the prophet would have a place to stay. And it was such great honor. And God looked at that and said, that's a good thing. They that labor in word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. So I say all that to say, when Pastor Michael was having his 25th anniversary, you better believe I'm going to sow into that. Why? Because I'm not here without him. This church isn't here without that man. Amen. Amen, it's true. Say, oh, it was God. Yeah, but God uses men and women that are faithful to do these things. And so I had an amount that I was going to sow personally and from the church. And this was back before we were into the building that we renovated, the old storefront or the old sanctuary. And I had an amount to give, and if I went back and looked at it, it was 1/20th of all the church had. Now that seems like a lot. 1/20th of all the money the church has to give. Now before you start thinking, my God, who's watching him spend money? There's people watching me spend money. We have board, receipts, all those things. But my board also knows too, if I've heard from heaven, they're not going to stand in my way. Amen. Now, if I get something crazy outside the boundaries of the Bible and start getting ooky, spooky, and weird and Kool-Aid-y, they step in. Please don't misunderstand me. But when I heard from heaven, I knew I heard from heaven, so I was there. I thought, I'm going to give 1/20th. I was in that meeting, and the Spirit of God said, no. The amount you're going to give is this amount, which ended up being 1/4 of all the church had in the money. And we're getting ready to move into get a new building. You talk about your eyeballs spinning and your flesh being uncomfortable. And that's what you have to understand, how to live out of your heart. Because God will speak things to you that will make your eyeballs spin. And God will speak things to you that will make your flesh crawl. But inside, if you're sensitive, you'll have perfect peace. Amen. Well, my eyeballs spun and my skin crawled, but my heart, I know this is heaven. I know it's God. I don't get it, but God doesn't ask things that are easy, convenient, or how we think. We see principles in the Word. He asked a woman to give your last meal and her son's starving, and that's it. And God said, give it away. He said to Abraham, the son you waited for 25 years for, take him up on the mountain and kill him. Oh, that's easy. That's convenient. So when God says, give 1/4, I know the principles of the Word. I know it's heaven. I heard in my heart. And so I end up sowing that seed. Man, my skin was talking. My eyeballs were spinning. My mind was doing tricks, you know. And within a few months, which we'll get to we'll save it here. I mostly know the story, but we'll save it. My point was, God asked me to do something very inconvenient. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to real quick, go to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. I just want to show you something real quick concerning kingdom principles here. I want to take a real quick look at generosity, because what did I just tell you? God's going to ask you to do something that's not easy or convenient at times, and it's going to be seemingly very, very generous. The tithe to some people, they cannot wrap their mind around 10%. It is like such... And then some people get to the tithe and the thought of bringing more than my 10% and bringing an offering, it's like their mind is like it's fireworks and smoke and things are going off and it's malfunctioning. And then that God might actually talk to me about sowing a seed that stretches me. But you have to understand a principle about giving, okay? Before we get to number three. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." What I want to say to you today about becoming generous and a giver is you control your harvest. Amen. You're in control of your harvest. If you don't like your harvest, I would say to you, do something about it.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. If you don't like the seemingly lack of increase coming in your life, do something about it. It'd be like a farmer saying, "I got 100 acres out there, and I am so sick and tired of only reaping a 25-acre corn harvest out there." And his wife's saying, "Honey, didn't you only plant 25 acres of corn?" "Yeah, so what? What's your point?" "Well, you want a bigger harvest? You got to sow bigger seeds." Amen. You control your harvest. "I don't like my harvest." Well, if you don't like your harvest, you got to change your seed. I always say this, the uncommon seed results in the uncommon harvest. The same old seed results in the same old harvest. I remember hearing a story from Keith Moore, who traveled with Brother Hagin, has his own church now, sang on Rhema Singers and Bands, was a great blessing, taught in the prayer and faith and healing school and things in Rhema back in the heyday when 80s and 90s, you know, at Rhema. He said he was ironing his clothes one day, listening to a message. He said the guy preaching on the message was saying, "You know, I got tired of reaping in ones and fives and tens." He said, "I wanted to start reaping in 20s, 50s, and 100s, so I just put this verse to work." Stop poking me. So I just put this verse to work. He said, "I started sowing in 50s, and 20s, and 100s. He said, "You know what happened? I started reaping."
Yeah.
And he said, "I wanted to receive a first $1,000 seed." "Well, you got to sow a $1,000 harvest." "I want to reap a $1,000 harvest. Got to sow a $1,000 seed." The guy in the tape said, "I did that and it worked." Keith Moore's ironing his clothes and said, "I'm tired of reaping in ones, fives, tens, and twenties. I want to reap in hundreds and in thousands." So he talks about the first time he stretched himself to sow an uncommon seed and talked about the first uncommon harvest. So many of us just get the same old, the same old, the same old. And we need something bigger. And we need breakthrough. But breakthrough doesn't come because you need it. Breakthrough doesn't come because you beg for it and wish for it to happen. And so my question to you is this morning. When is the last time that you sowed something significant or different or uncommon in your finances? I'm not saying it happens all the time. I'm not saying you ever have to do it at all. But I'm just saying, people, we all say, "Yes, I want that increase. I want that increase." Praise God. Because number three is going to talk about the increase. I want that increase. Okay. But when is the last time you stretched yourself and sowed more and put more out there and believed God for a bigger harvest? Because you can want it and wish it and hope for it all you want. But until you do something. It's amazing. I've had people talk to me and tell me about a seed they sowed. Maybe it was personally to me, to the church, to another ministry. And I've had people come up and tell me results of that seed. And my initial thought would be to them, "Oh my gosh, did that not get you addicted to this giving?" Because I've told Pastor Nancy when she was here, I said, "Pastor, I almost feel bad at times. Because I know when I sow big seeds, I know what's coming back to me. And you almost feel greedy." But people will tell me that. I'm like, I hope that the light bulb went off to show you that this will work every time.
Amen.
Not that every time you sow sacrificially and stretch, but I'm just saying, when is the last time? I'm not talking about a big tithe either. You know that a big tithe is not generosity.
Yeah.
It's not. We have to understand that, because sometimes we get promotions or bonuses, and we bring, maybe we've never given a tithe above a certain amount, and we get a bonus, and that tithe is for $200 or $300, and that stretches us, and we bring that, we think, wow, I just hung the moon. No, you were faithful, and you're obedient, but that's not generosity. When your tithe increases, your generosity did not increase. Your sowing didn't increase. You can't expect the... Now, there's blessings that come with a tithe. Don't misunderstand me. But your harvest and the increase comes from seed sown. And a lot of people, they get bigger tithes and they get tripped up and think, I'm being generous. And do you realize that you can make $10 million. What's a tithe on $10 million? $1 million. And you can bring a $1 million check to the church and not give anything over that, and the Bible calls you a robber?
Yeah. Come on.
Ouch! It does. Tithes and offerings. When you bring your million on $10 million, you know what you are? You're faithful. Praise God. You're bringing provision to the house. But you still didn't bring an offering on that million.
That's good.
When's the last time you sowed a seed above your tithe that was generous or sacrificial in expectation of getting a bigger harvest?
Amen.
Let's close with this. We need to hurry. Number three. So number one, God's kingdom requires people to give. Number two, is asking will not always be convenient. The tithe is not always convenient. I know it's not. Giving offers is not always convenient. God will speak to your heart and tell you to give something that's not convenient. But that's how he works. Now you're ready for number three, and this is what you need to renew your mind to. This is going to bring it all back around, give you your little pat on the butt, tell you you're doing great, and get excited because it's going to be good here. God's heart, this is number three, God's heart with the way he does things. Now, how's the way he does things? Tithe, offering, and speaking to your heart. And then when he does speak, what? He asks at times things that are not easy or convenient or how you would think. But God's heart in those ways that he does things is only meant to lead you into more.
Amen.
Not less.
Amen.
Go with me to Luke chapter 5 and let's look at what we're talking about. Remember the story? Jesus, you really need my boat today? Oh my gosh, you're going to preach? And now you want me to take you fishing? Well, what does that sound like? Inconvenience. It sounds like on the surface, Jesus, you're trying to make my life harder. When I preach the tithe, I see the looks. Pastor, that's making my life harder. When you talk about giving on top of the tithe, that's just going to make my life harder. Don't you know I have bills? That's the way it seems. Peter, go do all this. Nevertheless, it's your word. I'll let down my net. Verse 8. And when? Not before when. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke, and what? They got the other boats out there, filled them up, and Peter was astonished at how many fish they caught. Well, again, what do I say to people? We like the pressed down, shaken together, running over. We like the windows of heaven opening up. We like bountiful harvests. But they come through an avenue. What did Peter's harvest come through? The avenue of doing God's ways. That were not easy, convenient, or how he would think. I wonder sometimes if when it comes to the tithe, and it comes to the offering, and it comes to these things, I wonder if for some reason in people's Bible, all it says is bring the tithes in the storehouse, and then that's it for verse 8, for verse 10. I wonder at times in Luke 6:38 if the only word they see is give. Why? Because of people's reaction and not doing it. Do they not see what the God of the universe, who gave you Jesus, who cannot lie, said, if you'll bring your tithe, if you'll give, this will be the result? Do they not see that? Because why wouldn't you do it? When Jesus said to Peter, do this, God's goal with the tithe is not to make your life harder, it's to get more into you. God's goal when he tells you to give is not to take from you, it's to get more into you. When God says to Peter, I want to go fishing after I use your boat for preaching, it's not to make his life harder. It's why. Jesus is like, Peter, you gave something to the kingdom. Now heaven's got to give back. And heaven always gives back bigger than you gave. And Peter, can you imagine if he just said no? Or if Jesus would have went down to the next dock and asked somebody else for their boat. Peter gets word, did you hear the catch? They couldn't have caught fish. I was on that same lake. No. I guess Jesus needed the boat. He went out and preached. And afterward, Jesus wanted to go fishing. They went fishing and they were filling up boatfuls of fish. And now they're selling that fish and all this money they're making. And Peter would have been on the sidelines. Many people are on the sidelines watching other people walk into things that they themselves should be walking into. Can you imagine if the woman would have said, no, this is my food for me and my son. The Bible said that they were blessed the rest of their life because of that seed. Go read when Abraham brought Isaac up on the mountain and the angel appeared and there was a ram in the thicket and he's about ready to stab his son. He says, no, don't do that. So there's a ram over there. Get that for the offering. But he said, because you have done this thing. What was the thing he did? Obeyed the voice of God. He said, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. He talks about how his kids will be protected, how the generations after them is going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. It opened a domino effect of blessing. Peter could only see at first the inconvenience and how hard it was. The woman with the child could only see the inconvenience and how hard it was. When Abraham first got that news, can you imagine the thoughts that would come in? But God was seeing it from behind the door of obedience. Oh, there's a big boatload of fish for you, Peter. Oh, there's provision for you and your son the rest of your life on the other side of this door. Oh, all these things. And God's saying to you, I tried to show you what's behind the door of the tithe. I tried to show you. I put it in writing. I told you what's behind the door of being generous. You'll reap bountifully. And people hold off and they don't do it. And if Peter wouldn't have done it, he wouldn't have got that fish. If that woman would have done it, she'd have struggled the rest of her life if she would have even lived after that time. Because the angel said to him, because you did this thing, only because you did, not because God just shined his happy face down on you and decided to bless you. No, because you did it. Because you did it. Remember I told you God has ways? God's ways of prosperity is through the avenue of giving and generosity. And you got to understand the kingdom needs the generosity and God's going to ask you to be generous and tell you things like the tithe and the offering that don't make sense to your mind or speak things to your heart to sow an offering to so-and-so, to who and who, to a ministry, to the building fund, to the church, wherever he tells you to sow it, and it will not be easy or convenient, but on the other side of that door that seems so hard to go through is a blessing that you couldn't imagine. Remember the story? I just got a couple stories left and we'll close. While you're hearing this story, go to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Well, remember when the Lord had me sow 1/4 of the church's finances. Now, again, that's all going to be seen by my board. They're going to look at that and say, what in the world? And I'm going to say, the Spirit of God told me to do it. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't put the church in jeopardy like that. But I know the principles of giving. I know what God's going to have us do to give. If we want increase around here for the church is going to have to give. Sacrificially, and God's going to talk to the church the same way he's going to talk to us as individuals. Amen. We're not just hoarding up the money and storing it just to sit there. No, money's a tool. Tools are no good in the toolbox. Tools are good when they're being used. Amen. And we got 12 times the amount in two checks that came in unexpectedly out of nowhere that got called in. Praise God. 12 times the amount. See, it takes everybody working together. It's not just pastor's faith to do that. It's also the people in the seats hearing from God and obeying God and doing it. It's a team effort. Amen. But the harvest came. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, what about when we're, you know, I've always tried to brag, but I do need to be an example. My heart's God. I want God. I want His things. I want to run my race. I want to do for Him. And so when Jamestown took up a building fund, when I went there, you know, I didn't have a big amount to give, but I always said, there's going to be life-changing things happening in this building, and I want to be a part of it. I want people to sit in these seats because I helped pay for this place. And I didn't have a lot of money, you know, and desired to be a sower. And I said, Lord, what do I do about this? I want to be a giver. I want to sow into the kingdom. He says, well, you got a real nice gun in your safe. Actually, back then it wasn't a safe, it was a gun cabinet. Got a real nice, actually it wasn't even a gun cabinet, it was the corner of the room. It was just kind of propped up, you know. Says, you got a real nice gun there. You could always sell that and give that money. I said, Lord, this gun is sentimental. My youth, the youth group kids, found out when my birthday was, know what I like. Talk about hunting a lot, so hunting Cabela's. I mean, they just kind of go together. And they took up an offering within themselves and came with a stack of Cabela's gift cards. Teenagers. It's precious. And they all got approved by their parents, you know, and weren't selling their lunch money for Cabela's cards. That was, you know. And anyways, they brought it, and it was a good chunk of money towards that gun that I wanted. And I got this gun, and it was fancy. It was, I mean, all the bells and whistles. It was awesome. And it was so special to me, not only because the gun was so awesome, but because of how I got it. The Lord said to me, that thing that's sentimental to you, it's kind of the same thing. It's a little different, obviously. Isaac was probably a little sentimental to Abraham. That woman's son was probably very sentimental type of thing that she cares about, right? And God talks to me about it. I go, and I know it's not a child and stuff, but it was a sentimental thing. It was a hard thing for me at the time, you know? And he said, sell that gun. I said, Lord, this, what am I going to say to the kids? You know what? How am I going to do this? But, see, God's not interested in your convenience, just so you know. God didn't also say, oh, God, I forgot that woman has one meal left. That's inconvenient from her. Scratch it all. Oh, Peter, I forgot you worked all night, didn't catch anything, you're tired, go home. I'm so sorry. What a dumb Jesus I am. He doesn't care about your inconvenience. He cares about what's on the other side of that inconvenience. He wants to get it into your life.
Amen.
Why does he stretch us at times? Because the bigger the seed, the bigger the harvest.
Amen.
And a lot of times we're not generous as he is, or our thoughts can't get where he is. So he speaks something to us to do that's hard. Why? It stretches us, but causes us to become enlarged and bigger in our giving, which causes us to be enlarged and bigger in our receiving. And so he said, give that gun. I hemmed and hawed, and I gave it, explained to the kids. The kids were pumped. They were all on board. They were awesome. And I was in a gun store. I'd gone down there. Someone else had to go down for some different stuff or whatever. It wasn't. They asked me to tag along with them, and I went down. And they're filling out paperwork, receipt, or the background check. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing. So I'm just looking at the guns. And I'm looking at the model that I had sewn not too long ago, and I'm looking at it, but it's the newer model. And they've upgraded this, and they upgraded that. And they upgraded this, and it's got a better sling with it. It's got a better barrel. It's got a better trigger. And it's got all these things, and it's more expensive. And I'm sitting there. You know the drooling emoji? It's coming out. You know, that was me. And I'm not saying anything. And person's getting ready to leave, and they say, what are you looking at? I said, oh, I was looking at that gun. You like that gun? Yeah, I like that gun. I'm going to have that gun someday, I said. You're going to have that gun today. I'm here to buy it for you. Now, let me tell you something. That's uncommon harvest. I don't know about you, but that's never happened to me again where somebody bought me a gun of that price out of the blue, just out of nowhere. Uncommon seeds lead to uncommon harvest. Now, that's what I was talking about. I knew the specific harvest on that, but now I don't know when I get harvest because there's so much seed going out. Amen. And so God did Ephesians 3:20 exceeding. I never could have expected, and I should with the way the word is, but I never in my mind expected that the seed of sowing that gun was going to turn into the better model, the nicer model. Do you think when that woman gave that meal, she could have ever expected that the rest of her life was going to be taken care of now? Or when Peter, he was astonished. He fell on his knees and said, Lord, leave me alone. I'm sinful. You don't want anything to do with me. Because he was so shocked, he didn't believe he deserved that. He could have never expected that. Abraham could have never expected what taking his son up on that mountain that day would have done. We'll close with this, 2 Corinthians 9:10. Remember, God's heart and the way he does things is only meant to lead you into more. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, now look at this, and what's the next word?
Multiply.
Multiply what? Your seed sown. The only way you're going to understand is if you believe me that I'm not a liar. That when I open my Bible and I see money or somebody gives me a handshake, my first thought is not, ooh, yay, more money for me. It's not. It never is, I promise you. Paul said this in Philippians 4. He said, when you give a gift, it's not that I desire it. He said, but what I'm excited is about what's coming back to you. And I'm telling you, as a minister, when sheep do that because my mind's renewed to the principles of giving and receiving, I don't think, ooh, yay, more money. Is it nice to have more money? Yeah, I'm not going to lie about that. But that's not my first thought. My first thought is 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. That the seed sown, God's going to sprinkle a dash and a little bit of multiplication on that thing. That's why I say, I get the 20, I get the 50, I get the 100, but what do you get? You get the 100 multiplied. You get the 20 multiplied. You get the 50 multiplied. Amen? Why? Because God, what does He want to do with your seed? He wants to multiply your seed sown. God is in heaven saying, let me multiply, let me multiply, let me multiply. Oh, that's all they're giving me to multiply? Okay, I'll multiply that, but do you see what I'm talking about? If you'll expand and be generous, hallelujah, and stretch yourself, you give God something bigger to multiply. Amen? Hallelujah. So I encourage you in closing. I'm not going to shut my Bible, because if I shut my Bible, you'll shut your Bibles. And then you won't pay attention to the rest of what I say. I know how this stuff works, and there'll be commotion in the seats. So my Bible's open, so don't shut yours. If you're not tithing, on the other side of that tithe is something waiting for you. What's keeping you out? Fear. Worry. What people might think. The offering. God's spoken things to people's hearts. I'm sure of it. Why? Because that's how God works. To sow a seed into the building, to church, to a ministry, to a friend, a family member. I don't know where He's telling you to do it. I can't. I wouldn't dare to tell you where that is. But He's spoken things to people and they haven't obeyed. Because it's hard and it's inconvenient. And it's not easy. But on the other side of that, God's just saying, I just want to expand you. I just want to grow you. But God didn't make that woman give. And God didn't make Peter give him the boat. And God didn't make Abraham go up there. God offered it to him and said, here you go. The tithe is an opportunity. The offering is an opportunity. And sowing large seeds is an opportunity for more. Let's pray. Thank you for your patience. Father, thank you for the word this morning. And for those of you that have seed in the ground, be expecting harvest. Be expecting increase. Be expecting multiplication. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the patience of the people. I did go a little bit long today, but Father, this is the type of message where I get testimonies after testimonies of people coming back to me and saying, you know, I had had this on my heart and it was hard for me to do and I did it and this happened. Or, you know, I've not been a tither and I started tithing and Pastor, you wouldn't believe what started happening. Or, I was always a tither but I never gave more than a tithe. Father, these are the messages that change futures. That literally change the makeup of somebody's life and their finances. So Father, I pray that everybody would get a revelation of this morning. That people would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God said. That Father, we're not trying to manipulate people, we're trying to multiply people. The tithe's not, you didn't put it in there to manipulate. You didn't tell Peter, take me fishing to manipulate. Or make that woman's life hard by telling her, give your last meal away to the minister. You weren't trying to manipulate or make life harder. You were trying to multiply their life. So, Father, I pray that people would renew their mind to that. And they would be obedient in the tithe and the offering. And then they would obey anything you've told them to do in any place you've told it to go. And, Father, I thank you when you do it. Father, we put our faith on those seeds. And we thank you for multiplication. We thank you for increase. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed. I know everybody in here today is born again, but if you're listening by live stream, and if you could say to yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, I want to make it so you can know that you're going to heaven. Jesus made it clear. He said, if you believe on me, you won't perish, but have everlasting life. And so, if you're listening by live stream, you can say, I don't know if I go to heaven, but I do believe in Jesus. I know He was real, and I want to go to heaven. Well, it's easy. You don't have to become a member of this church or it's not about how many good things you did versus how many bad things you did, how much church you've gone to. It's all about what you do with Jesus. If you're listening by live stream, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's simple. Just cry out to Him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. All you have to confess with your mouth is, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you were real. I believe you died and rose again. come into my heart. If you'll do that and believe in Him, the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll become a child of God. And I encourage you, shoot us an email, give us a phone call, let us know. We'll get some materials into your hands and also get you hooked up with a Bible teaching church. Because again, church doesn't determine heaven, but church and learning about the things of God determines how good your life can be. We've got to learn about these things so we can partake of them. Let's just take a moment right now and worship Jesus this morning. For those of you that have sown seeds, let's worship Him for the harvest that's coming. Maybe you haven't seen the fullness of it yet, but for those of you that are struggling in this area, it's a difficult thing. God understands, He loves you, but He's just trying to tug you up into higher. Let's worship Him, and let's repent if we've done wrong, and endeavor to do right, and tell Him, Father, I need Your help in doing this, but just He's good, He's merciful, He loves you. He loves you so much. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to go into more. Help people, Father. You're so comforting and so merciful. Nobody's trying to beat anyone up. We love You, Lord. You're faithful. Father, You've made it simple to be a giver. Look at all the things You do for people that give. Look at all the harvest You cause to come in for people that give. Father, we magnify You in this place. We thank You in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Don't forget there's fellowship and also Wednesday night, 6:30, you are dismissed.
Losing its grip on me, oh where have I gone? Cause I can see the light before I see the sunrise. You come.